This is a HeadGum Podcast.
If I were you, this is a podcast for two coy dudes. Only one of them speaks Hebrew, but they still both Jews. And told on, that's right, hold up, pass the mic. You're listening to that Superfly podcast hosted by Jay Kennedy. A mathematical genius, one thinks with his penis. They got no qualifications to give opinions to patients, despite the changes they're making, giving advice for the nation. The men and mice, the relationships in a vice, the pinch and a mirror, the hit for me, the hit for you. So listen to if I were you.
Yeah. That was by Kyle and Adam.
Yo, my boys.
And we often joke about real musicians writing these theme songs, but that was written by a real musician.
Yeah.
Kyle is in Bastille.
So
I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah. So he's in Bastille.
Yeah.
And he wrote us, he called us coy in the theme song.
Yeah. So.
And then other times he'll be on stage and he'll be like, eh, eh, oh, eh, oh, eh, eh, oh, eh,
oh. Oh, he's the guy that does that?
I don't know. I just read online that he plays every instrument.
Every instrument
in the band
Bastille.
I've never been to one of their live shows.
I mean,
on his Wikipedia page, it makes me believe that he's the guy that sings. Hey, 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 oh.
They're huge. They've sold 5 million records in the U.S.
Yeah. This is bigger than when your boy Gautier was on. Yeah.
Gautier was on 8 episodes in a row. And when Bastille wrote a theme song for us, that was actually true and an actual bigger deal.
This wasn't the whole best. I feel like we have... only Kyle's in Bastille, I think.
Adam is not.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So Kyle, who's in Bastille, and Adam, who's not in Bastille.
Right.
We should preface every... artist that helps us out by being like, this guy's in Bastille,
is he
this
in Bastille
one's not.
Or not?
So yeah. Like, so far nobody has ever been in Bastille
except for now Kyle.
Yeah, so Kyle is in Bastille,
and I think now is a good time to tell everybody we're going on tour with Bastille.
Oh, I totally forgot that.
Yeah, we're telling everybody, including Kyle. Yeah. Bastille,
they didn't know, because like, why would two podcasters sort of right. open up for a famous band?
We're opening for them.
What?
You think we open?
What are you talking about?
I'm a headliner.
You want Bastille, who sells out arenas, to open for us?
You couldn't sell out Seattle.
You couldn't sell out the fucking Neptune, and you want Bastille to open for us?
We packed the Neptune with 9 people.
We sang Bastille songs incorrectly. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, dope. Thank you.
Thanks to Kyle. In Bastille and Adam, who's not, for listening.
Yeah, we're 100% sure that is accurate, right?
Yeah, because Bastille, according to Wikipedia, is Dan Smith, Will Farquharson, Chris Woody Wood, and Kyle Simmons.
Yeah, dope. My man.
So why don't we just give a really quick shout out to Bastille.
Yeah, opening theme song today was written by Bastille.
Not by Bastille, but by Kyle from Bastille.
Yeah.
And they're probably on tour. They'll have a lot of... go to BastilleBastille.com to listen to more Bastille.
You've already heard Bastille.
So much Bastille. Bastille. Thank you, Bastille, for for loaning us Kyle to write. What if he gets in trouble for this?
He gets kicked out of the band.
Hey, you can't write other songs for podcasts.
That whole coy Jew thing, we were going to put that on our new album. You leaked a song.
That was going to be the name of our EP and our LP. All right. How are you feeling today? Sunday. This is one of those that we record and then put up right away. Sunday, yeah. March 20th.
I'm a bit... It was a long weekend. We partied a little bit.
We went out.
Yeah, we did.
And then what does that lead to on Saturdays and Sundays?
I guess pretty much starting on Friday, I went to the gym on Friday, but uh-huh. then for the rest of the weekend, I was just sort of like...
You're living your cheat life.
Yeah. Today was especially
cheatful.
Today was especially egregious on the cheat scale.
I was non-honorable today.
I was a dishonorable disservice.
I was a cheatsman through and through.
I was a cheatsmith.
I left. No, I came back from breakfast and you were on the couch eating breakfast tacos that you had Postmates, which is when a restaurant doesn't deliver, mm-hmm. there's a third party that will deliver the food to you.
Yeah, so, and they do, there's a tax, there's a $9 delivery fee, yeah. and then you have to tip.
You're basically paying an Uber driver to go to a restaurant and then pick up the food that you still have to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, like, so those we're three just tacos. Talking about, like, yeah, unhealthy tacos. I got three breakfast tacos
yeah.
with chips and guac and some queso dip. Yeah.
Queso.
And
queso is how cool people call cheese. Yeah.
It roughly costs like $26 okay. or something like
$26
that.
For three tacos and chips.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. And then I came back 3 hours later.
Right. And I had just gone to the gym. Or no. I did the opposite.
Yeah. You said you felt bad because you had.
Went on a run or something.
No, you said you had Wendy's.
Oh, yeah.
So I left you eating tacos, and I came back, and you had already eaten Wendy's.
And I ate the Wendy's really fast because I knew I was going to be embarrassed if you caught me. So I ate it as fast as I could, and I got rid of the evidence. But then I felt so ill.
Did you Postmates the Wendy's as well?
Yeah, the Wendy's cost me $23.
So you didn't want to leave the home.
I didn't. I left the house once this morning to go get Starbucks.
Starbucks. Did you get a croissant?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you got your croissant.
I think I have had the most unhealthy day of my whole entire life.
And then how good did it feel while you were eating it?
Honestly, the Wendy's felt bad the entire time.
So the
only time I felt good was when I ordered it, and I was like really looking forward to it. But once it got here, it was disgusting.
What did you get?
Why
Wendy's?
Because I wanted Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A is closed
on Sundays. Yeah.
someone better tell them that God ain't real, man. That's like ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that they're gonna like let their margins dip like that. Not even fucking selling anything on Sundays. Are you kidding me? What, to observe the Sabbath? What a waste.
Last time I checked, Sabbath was Saturday, dimwits. Now give me that grilled cheese, please.
I got a chicken sandwich, a junior bacon cheeseburger, chicken nuggets, and two French fries.
Wait, why? You ordered food for two people.
Yeah.
You ordered a chicken sandwich and a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then you also ordered chicken nuggets and fries. And then you also ordered fries.
Uh-huh.
So why didn't you just get one fries?
Because I didn't think there would be enough.
Two large fries.
Well, no, because it's all off the dollar menu, so it's sort of like this. It's like a little. Everything's a little tinier.
You know, a little too small for my liking. So you got two small fries instead of a medium or a large.
Yeah, I guess. Also a little bit bigger. They're probably two medium fries.
And you got two sandwiches, and then you also wanted the chicken nuggets in addition to the two different sandwiches.
Yeah,
one being a cheeseburger and one being a fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah, then I also needed chicken nuggets.
And then, did you consume all of it?
I actually couldn't. I was a little too ill,
but
I
did
consume most of it. I think I left like a single chicken nugget and three or four fries.
Oh, I would have eaten that.
Yeah,
even hearing
I also
how...
pulled the bun off the chicken sandwich, so it was sort of like a big chicken nugget.
You thought it would be unhealthy to eat the bread.
It just, the bread was inhibiting the taste of the sandwich a little bit.
The chicken.
I was tasting more bread than chicken, and I wanted to.
So now you ate
this blast, dude. What did you eat for breakfast today?
I had a kale cob, green juice.
Really?
And that was before the spinning.
Yeah.
No, I also had a breakfast burrito.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But you
Sundays
ate.
Sundays are cheat days, dude.
Yeah, Sundays are cheat
but
days.
But I don't think anybody should cheat as hard as I cheated today.
Yeah.
That's not.
Cheated on cheat day, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, you cheated too much.
I had an affair on cheat day.
That being said, it's still 7:20. You ate Wendy's probably an hour ago, right?
Roughly, yeah.
So there's still like a late night cheat in you.
Honestly, that's why I got the Wendy's. I ordered it maybe around 4.
Right, like a mid-afternoon snack.
I was thinking like if I get the Wendy's now, then I'll be hungry to order pizza at like 9.
Oh, and that's the coup de grace.
And I mean, if I could, I mean, that would be such an epic cheat day.
That would be an amazing cheat day.
Yeah.
You have to get it out of the way because you're very... you're very strict during the week.
During the week, I think. I mean, I
you're
guess
like,
I,
yeah. you're a salad, you're a smoothie, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the week, I don't fuck around.
So that's why the cheat day is so important.
Yeah.
You have to make it so you're so sad and disgusted with yourself, you don't even want to cheat.
Yeah. I have been thinking about this cheat day for a long time, though, too.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Wasn't yesterday a cheat day, too?
Yesterday was sort of a diet cheat day. Like I got a sandwich instead of a salad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ate some chips, which I don't usually do.
It was like an on-ramp to the cheat.
Yeah, it was gearing up.
Yeah, I was like, by the way, stomach, just so you know, like, here's a few chips. Get your shit ready, because tomorrow you don't have any fucking clue what's going down.
We're getting Wendy's.
Yay! Your stomach muscles are just fucking thrilled about it. They can't wait. I'm
so fucking sick right now.
It's like when you dangle a leash in front of a dog and he's just fucking ready to go. He's like by the door scratching it. Yeah. That's what happens when you throw chips down your hatch.
I'm dehydrated. I'm so full of salt.
Yeah, it is a lot of salt.
Yeah.
Did you have water?
Not enough.
I saw you drinking a can of canola oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheat day.
And just cracking pepper on my tongue.
One of those mills. All right, what is this? This isn't just Jake's diet podcast. This isn't.
Although I would
love
to have a podcast that was all diet.
Yeah, that way it'd keep you honest and, at the very least, cheating.
Mm-hmm.
This is an advice podcast. People, believe it or not, are in desperate need of our guidance. They are finding themselves in a situation where they need perhaps a third or fourth opinion, because they don't know what to do. Maybe they're young and inexperienced. Maybe they're old and naive about a certain subject. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we know a lot about everything. So we will comb through these emails and try to find good ones. But then sometimes we figure, let's make a game of it.
Oh, you want the Game Boy?
That's right. Tonight I want to summon, even though he's a little under the weather, ill, I want to hear from the Game Boy.
The Game Boy has very bad stomach pain.
Yeah. The Game Boy is lactose intolerant. He shouldn't have had cheese and a chicken sandwich. So what we're going to do is I have our Gmail account open. And the game is Jake will ask me to search a term or a phrase, and we'll see if there are emails with questions. One of 15,000 emails we have.
And to one, like, if I can give you a word that's only been used in one email,
that's the game.
That's the game. That's the win.
That's the boy.
All right. The Game Boy's first word,
yeah,
is beehive.
Wow. Beehive.
Zero. Is it zero? Is it one? Is it the coup de... Oh my god, it's one. Holy shit. The Game Boy with a bullseye.
It was written from you, you asshole. Oh, this is funny. It's not even a question.
What?
Actually, this could be fun to do. Wait a minute. Where is Beehive even in this? Oh my god. So this is interesting.
It doesn't even say beehive?
This is the email. This is written in February 12th of 2015, so 13 months ago. Michael, a professional videographer and editor, said, I wrote some Jake and Amir episodes. I know you're not making them anymore, but give them a read if you like. And there's two attached PDFs. One of them is Jake and Amir Banana Phone, and one of them is Jake and Amir Crimes. So we could trust Michael enough to read these in character as a Jake and Amir video, one of which contains the word beehive. Should I do a search and do it? Or is that not a good idea at all in general? We should just find questions.
Let's read them. We'll do... you think College Humor is going to sue us?
I'd like to see the... Oh! Mr. Diller!
A helicopter?
That's not what it looks like. Let's see which... Oh, okay. We didn't read these. This is kind of risky.
Yeah, what if they're not good?
I guess that's interesting nonetheless. This one is called Jake and Amir Crimes.
Is this one with the word beehive?
That's it. I feel like even if it's not great, destiny led us here.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is a Jake and Amir video.
Oh, wow, 48 pages.
Yeah, right off the bat. All right. This is so weird doing a Jake and Amir video that we didn't even write on the podcast.
Yeah.
This is a momentous occasion. This could either lead to many interesting ones or just none ever again.
Well, yeah, I feel like if we start doing this very regularly, then College Humor will tell us to stop.
All right, so this might be the only one we ever do.
Yeah, I mean, people out there, I love the effort, but don't start sending us a ton of Jake and Amir scripts. I don't think we can do this on the reg, but we'll do it right now.
The podcast just slowly becomes Jake and Amir Radio Hour.
It'd be amazing.
All right. Interior. This is exciting, right?
Yeah.
Some people are excited listening to this. Actually, let's not do it. Let's not do it. All right.
My other
we're
word.
Going to Boston. Interior College Humor office. Jake sits at his desk. Amir approaches and sits down. I have to get into character again.
Yeah, wow.
Should I put my old glasses on?
Yeah, go to your room.
All right.
Amir, this is all the script.
Amir approaches and sits down. Oh, shit. This is hard to read and, like, do it.
Usually we would read the scripts beforehand, everybody. All right. But we got this. We'll figure it out.
Attention, Sergeant Soda. Here's a fantastic gift from your friend, your best friend, and co-worker, Amir. Start your day off Sprite with a Coke.
Amir extends a Dr. Pepper to Jake, who stares back.
Starting Fresca, Tabula Rasa. Bark is what dogs do.
Okay, lazy effort with the soda puns. Also, you're holding a Dr. Pepper, not a Coke, that you've clearly opened already.
You caught me in the act of fizzing up this soda fountain on top of a friendship. The fun don't stop when you're guzzling a pop with your grandpop. Goes in for a fist pump.
Do you think I'm your grandpa?
Take my drink.
Okay, now I'm certain you're attempting to drug me.
Amir accidentally bumps a lid of soda and it clumsily falls off, spilling soda all over his desk. He pauses, then tries to play it off. You see that?
Yeah, I'm still here. By the way, saw you on the news this morning. I'm not sure that Wisconsin couple appreciated you pushing them into a lake.
I've done a terrible deed. They're going to lock me up with Saddam Hussein and Osama Bin Lama.
They might.
I never got caught neither.
According to the police report, a man wearing a Whole Foods bag on his head pushed a Wisconsin couple into a lake. When they emerged, the man pulled his pants down, brought a match to his rear, and yelled, "Hey, PETA, I just pulled down my Katniss Everjeans. Now watch me shine because I'm the girl on fire." The man attempted to fart on an unlit match but failed.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
The report continues. When his initial attempt had all but failed, the man yelled, "Welcome to the 74th annual Hunger Shames. Here's a little gift from District Number 2. Once again, the man could not produce anything worth note from his rear. You shouldn't be around people.
I was a tribute in the thick of battle, waiting for Drunkle Hey Bitch to send me a Tinker Toy swatting Jacker Jackers with my gut left and right."
How do you swat with your gut?
Amir lifts his shirt and reveals dozens of welts and bee stings.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Subduing the hive. 1 minute I'm licking a corn dog like Lincoln Log, and next a frickin' stinger in my hand Zimmer. Points to hand. So I'm jacked up on these jacker venom, and I make a beeline for the beehive and give it a tummy rub and high five. And I made sure I hit him where it hurts.
A beehive can't feel pain.
I hit him where I hurts. My beef tenderloins. So I tuck the honey mucking hive in the shirt, and it's kicking and screaming like a babe in the womb. And I'm convincing myself if I let it gestate long enough, I'd have a nice bowl of honey come tomorrow.
All right, just got off the phone with the hospital. An ambulance is on its way. What did you do with the hive?
Right here. Lifts up the beehive, swarming bees.
Oh, God.
That was it. End scene. That was pretty good.
It's not bad. A little all over the place.
Yeah, notes. Let me just tear into it.
I understand. He captured the voice.
Yeah, I like the idea of me pushing a Wisconsin couple into a lake. You think that's a real story that inspired it?
Maybe so.
The beehive would be hard to shoot, but
yeah,
not undoable.
We could have made it work.
Yeah, the noises. Wasn't there one with like a swarm of something? Like zzz?
We did a... There was a snake. Is that what you're thinking of?
A snake?
I remember the snake episode was you had a snake in your backpack.
Oh yeah, and it's...
Oh, there was also an episode where you like put down a backpack and we hear a cat meow.
Yeah.
Do you have a cat in there?
I'll let the cat out of the bag, and it's actually a cat.
Yeah, yeah. But we don't like... We only hear it. We never see it.
Yeah. All right, that was a fun little game. The Game Boy.
The Game Boy.
He actually won. Oh, wow. This guy, I guess I'll say his full name. He has a cool last name. His last name is Guarantee. That's right. Michael A. Guarantee.
B. That is a cool last name.
Michael, a guarantee, please. This probably might be a fun time to talk about our new web series.
Oh, yeah, because if you miss the old web series, and maybe we just refreshed your memory a little bit, we used to do a web series. I wonder if there's anybody out there that only listens to the podcast, never watched our videos, that absolutely hated that.
What was that? Those advice podcasters did something weird for a second.
We have a new web series called Lonely and Horny, and it is out in a month.
No, less than a month.
Less than a month.
3 weeks.
But you can buy it now for 15% off if you use the coupon code HORNY.
That's right.
So you go to vimeo.com/lonelyandhorny.
And people have been pre-ordering it for the past week or 2 weeks at this point. We're getting so many like tweets and Snapchats and Facebook messages, trying to get back to every one of them saying thank you. We can't believe how many people have pre-ordered it so far.
Yeah.
And like Jake said, we will get to you. You will want to see it. So you might as well pre-order it and get the 15% off.
Yeah, you guys, this podcast is going to be just a straight up Lonely and Horny commercial come April.
Never-ending deluge. It will be unlistenable. We will threaten to ruin everything in the wake.
I do want to at least encourage people to watch the trailer if you haven't. If you're not ready to spend the money, at least just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Just check that out.
And if you do buy it, do send us a Snapchat. Do send us a tweet. Do send us a Facebook message. We love reading it all and seeing all the great support. We're overwhelmed by how many people have purchased it so far.
Indeed. We are in your debt. Thank you.
The pre-order costs $14.99, and then with the coupon, it's like $2.25 off. So it's $12.74 just to be able to watch all 10 episodes when they come out in April.
Yeah.
Very excited, very proud of what we were able to do. So hopefully as many of you as possible get to see it.
Yeah, so we can make that second season. Dude.
And thanks for spreading the word about it too. A lot of people telling their friends. I had people that I didn't even know about coming up to me being like, oh, I saw the trailer. It was great.
That's really awesome.
So it was cool. Thanks guys for watching and thanks guys for pre-ordering. Muchas gracias. And thanks to Michael for writing that script. Not really a question, but
did have the word beehive.
Did
and
have
that
the
was
word
what
beehive.
We were really after.
All right, let's try to get a question in before the break.
Okay.
Should I search something?
Yeah, you got it. Your turn. Do you want me to? No, you can do it. You hold the computer. My stomach hurts. Too bad. It's not even like a stomach ache.
Your stomach hurts? Too bad.
I actually might throw up.
Oh, no. Periodic?
Periodic.
Like the table of elements?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, we got a bunch. Give me a number, 1 through 20.
8.
All right. This one was written in December of 2015, just right before the holidays this year.
Okay.
All right. So I have this girl I've been messaging. I met her on Tumblr, and I thought she was an absolute babe. She messaged me first. She opens the dialogue with, hey, my aunt made plans with my whole family to take us all to Vegas, and I want you to be my date. We are going in 2017, so keep your schedule open. I was blown away that this is happening. I immediately messaged back, I'm down as fuck, girl. I gave her my number, and we've been texting nonstop for 2 months. And I legitimately could see myself marrying this girl. We have so much in common, and we cannot get enough of each other. Here's the issue. She has a boyfriend. But she has never told me that she has one. I only know this because I searched her Instagram and Tumblr. And by the way, she posts about them. It's like they were high school sweethearts and can't seem to break it off. They post periodically about each other, but nothing serious, ever. Should I try to break them up so I can make the girl and myself happy? I feel like I'm more attractive than him, and I'm a better person than him. Anyway, I'm going to leave you guys with our Tumblr names, and you guys can see what I'm talking about. Please, dear God, remember to give actual advice. And then he gave him and hers Tumblr names. I really hope you guys know how to search for selfies on people's Tumblr profiles. Just click in the search bar on their profile and type me or hashtag me.
Huh?
So there's this whole Tumblr subculture that we don't really know about, like
right,
people like, meeting each other on Tumblr and having blogs on Tumblr.
Yeah,
we had one of the first Tumblrs, but we never used it as like, this is me and this is like a way of putting myself out there,
right?
And I guess people do that. People meet each other on Tumblr. And I think it's through, like, I don't know if it's through groups or through hashtags.
I don't understand how it works either. But I mean, like, isn't that the way the internet's always been? Like first you met people in chat rooms, then you met people on Twitter. Now you can meet people on Tumblr.
Their live journal.
Yeah. I feel like I've made friends from Instagram.
Oh, you made friends on Instagram?
Yeah, I've definitely like met people through Instagram.
My college roommate, shout out to Pavla, met friends on a yellow card message board.
Wow.
Yeah. A message board for the band Yellow Card.
Love that.
So I guess anything is possible. Do you want to watch the last 6 seconds of this basketball game?
Yeah, this is pretty exciting.
Oh, God. Northern Iowa just launched a three from way beyond half court, leaving so much. Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Northern Iowa is the one that they hit that buzzer beater last time,
right? Yeah, it's from half court. So they had 6 seconds left. The guy just caught it. I think the same guy shot a half quarter from with like 5 seconds left, leaving so much time that Texas A&M got to get the rebound and shoot their own half quarter.
That's the worst play ever.
And that Texas A&M one almost went in. Wouldn't Jesus. That have been incredible? You miss a buzzer beater by so much time that you leave the other team enough time to shoot their own buzzer beater.
Man.
Anyway, this guy's met a girl on Tumblr.
I don't know. Did she really invite him to Vegas, or was that like a silly pickup line or something?
I can't. Yeah, because she says we're going in 2017, so keep your schedule open. That seems like a joke.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem is just that he likes a girl that has a boyfriend.
Yeah. This wouldn't necessarily be a question we would answer if we read it, but
right.
Now that fate has led us here.
Well, we do get a lot of questions like this, so let's... Let's dive in.
Yeah, an overarching advice to people who are want to break up somebody else.
Yeah. It always seems like the girl likes you more than she likes the boyfriend.
Yeah.
But I think that's rarely true. Oftentimes, the girl will like, girls and guys sort of look for micro thrills in the world of like flirting with other people.
Right.
And maybe they're not wholly satisfied in their relationship, but they're still probably trying not to marry somebody else.
Right.
So I wouldn't get too far down this road. And maybe the most attractive thing you can do is just be like, you know what? I'm not going to talk to this girl. She has a boyfriend.
Yeah. I feel like he's in a good position. He's the other guy right now. What is it? He doesn't want to be the guy. Then she's going to be micro cheating on him with other people.
Yeah.
You don't need that in your life. You need someone who's not going to micro cheat.
Right.
So, his actual advice, you say you're better looking and a better person than this guy.
Well, you don't know him.
Yeah, you don't know who he is. You don't know. I guess you could tell how attractive he is, but you don't know how good of a guy he is.
Right, right, right.
And you've never met this girl. Why don't you... All these people...
the stakes are pretty low. Like, if you've never even met this girl and she has a boyfriend, let's just, like, keep on looking.
Yeah, all these people that are heartbroken or broken up or... like ruining their life with stress, trying to figure out how to date someone that doesn't live near them. Just find someone near you.
Yeah.
Like it's such a huge headache that you don't have to deal with. Just find someone that lives.
Don't actively try to enter a long distance relationship.
Find someone that lives within driving distance, and then you don't have to make a huge stress, have this huge like heartache and pain about someone who lives far away and what to do with that situation.
Especially if that person also has a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's
this
a
person
double.
Is unavailable. It's like walking into a restaurant and seeing a table occupied and be like, I'll sit there.
I want it. And he's like, sorry, that person's one already here and two hasn't even gotten their food yet. Two reasons why you can't sit there. But what if you... one time I went into a restaurant and there was two girls sitting
hot
at a bar.
Yes.
They were eating sushi at the bar.
So hot.
And I was like, oh, one of them looks really cute and attractive. But I didn't want to like bother her. I didn't want to like, I felt like I couldn't hit on her because she wasn't like, you know, she was having dinner with a friend. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Are there situations where like, I basically had to be like, I can never be with like, do I just have to give up before it even starts? Like, I can't do anything.
I can't talk to this person.
Is it like ever, is there ever a thing you can do that you can like open a conversation? Or is there some situations where like, you can't, I'm sorry, just pretend you didn't see her. Like, it's over.
I had a friend who picked up his, he met his girlfriend while she was at dinner at Umami with her parents.
Wow.
He came up and he said, he's like, I know you're here eating with your parents and I'm really sorry to do this, but I'd be kicking myself all night if I didn't just come up and introduce myself to you.
Holy shit. Wait, who did that?
That dude, my friend, Boyd.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He's like super fucking hot. So,
so it works.
Like you, I think there is a way, but you have to like actually be able to get that sentence out and you've got to be like fucking hot.
The only way to be that confident is to be hot.
Yeah, like if I went up to a girl and I was like, hey, I know you're eating with your family, and I would be,
can we get some water, please?
I don't work here.
What?
Is this your dad?
Yeah, sorry, this is really
sir,
weird. What are you doing?
May I have your daughter's hand?
Can
sorry.
We're gonna go eat somewhere else. Okay. That man, that vagrant. So you're
the
saying
beer's a choice.
There's, so you're saying there's always a way. There's always a way. But I don't want to give creeps a green light to try to hit on girls that don't
right.
want
well,
it.
Well, that's I think that's the problem, that a lot of guys are worried that they'll come off creepy, and a lot of them do come off creepy. And
yeah,
then, like,
rightfully so, basically.
Yeah, there are some guys that can't do it, like you. I think that makes you a pretty like a decent guy, because you felt more compelled to not bother this person
right.
than to like get your agenda
right.
And then there are some guys who would do it, but they'd be real sleaze bags. And then there are some guys who can walk up and say the perfect thing, like,
yeah,
my boy.
Well, that's the thing. And I was also thinking, like, she looks like a cool, normal type of girl, like the type of girl that wouldn't want to be bothered. Then
right.
it's like, oh, that means we would get along.
We are so compatible because she didn't want to be bothered, and I'm the kind of guy that wouldn't bother
yeah.
someone.
And like, and I know that
she's done dealing
out.
With creeps, and
yeah.
I'm not a creep.
Yeah, and if I gave her a note, that would make me a creep. So it was like this weird
yeah.
paradox. So I'm like, how do I hit on a girl that I know doesn't like to be hit on?
Yeah, that's hard.
So what I did was I waited until she left the restaurant, and I bumped into her, and I said, we have to stop running into each other like this.
And she maced you.
She maced me in my face, all over my face and neck.
I guess
and
that's
my
what
shirt.
Like social media is for, but you didn't even quite get to that.
Yeah, I couldn't even get there. I had to like stand next to her. In a perfect world,
where
I
was this, by the way?
At a sushi bar in the valley when I was eating with my parents like 2 years ago.
Oh.
I was like, I have to find myself standing next to her where somebody else would approach me so that I can talk to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then like hopefully make her laugh or have the conversation spread like a virus that brought her into it.
Right.
Then I can only crack the ice. Break the ice? Crack the ice. This is me talking to her. Can I crack the ice? Break the ice? What is this, sushi? Do you mind if I have the salmon? My index finger resting in her poke bowl. Oh my God, is it usually this hot? What do you like about rice?
This is my father, Jerome.
He's playing with Bitmoji. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on. All right. Leave people alone. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Q's and A's.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's right. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards yeah. to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement yeah. one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't
yeah.
buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness nah. yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% ooh. Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
And we're back.
All right.
How many college basketball games would you say you've watched in the last 48 hours?
I guess roughly every single one.
Maybe 15, 16, 20 games.
Yeah.
Wisconsin just beat Xavier at the buzzer. They'll advance to play Notre Dame. I didn't realize you were capable of watching this much basketball in 2 days.
Yeah, I love March Madness.
So you just get into any team.
Yeah.
Who's your team now that you know, besides like UConn and Yale, because they're your hometown team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, I kind of choose like game by game.
So like player by player, uniform color by uniform color,
today
obscure
it seems like
area.
Every single team that I wanted to win lost.
Well, you like the underdogs.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like I really like walk up,
yeah,
my boy.
Your walk up, who's on what? Stephen F. Austin or Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin.
It's always
Middle
like
Tennessee got fucking destroyed
by Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
It's always like the fun, obscure college names that you've never heard of. Those are the teams you want to root for.
Yeah, Giddy Potts is out here.
Giddy Potts and Liz Shoshi didn't make it to the Sweet 16.
Are we still angling to get Shoshi on the podcast?
There's this guy on University of Arkansas Little Rock, shout out to whatever their team name is. They upset a 4 seed in the first round, and then they lost yesterday. But one of their star players' name was Shoshi. Last name Shoshi, first name Liz.
Liz Shoshi.
And we want nothing more than to befriend Liz Shoshi. I don't know if anybody out there knows Liz Shoshi.
Or if he has Twitter, if we could sort of start like a DM with him.
Yeah, I don't know who out there even listens to our podcast in Arkansas, let alone Little Rock. But Liz Shoshi, if you're listening, a Shoshi for your thoughts, please, yeah, sir.
Theoretically, all these kids are in college. They would have at least like heard of College Humor, right?
Yeah, I wonder. There should be
a cred.
There should be a way to search NCAA athletes by what they're a fan of online.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That way, like maybe a Liz Shoshi or a Giddy Potts
maybe
is actually
Phantom of the Office fans.
fan of ours. So who are you rooting for in this game? Northern Iowa versus Texas A&M?
Northern Iowa.
Yeah. You like the small white guys that are just like looking like the heroes in a Hoosiers type movie.
You're right. I only like the white players.
The 5'10" white players that'll
I do like J.J. Redick a lot.
Actually, now that we're talking about cities, we're going on tour very shortly. In 3 weeks, we'll be on our East Coast tour, which starts in Washington, D.C. on April 6th. Then moves. We'll move our way up the coast. How are we doing that? On a train?
We're going to D.C. Yeah. Then, yeah, we're taking the Acela.
Oh, that's a really nice train.
Yeah,
that's very nice. That's a business class train.
You guys, that's a train that we're about to ball out
that's
on.
That's a bullet train. That's it's
taking
limited
that to
stops.
Brooklyn. We got a show in Brooklyn that is sold the fuck out.
Yeah, unless you got tickets for that already, we won't see you there. That show's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Then we have a night off. And then actually the next day, Lonely and Horny comes out.
Yes.
That'll be a fun day
in
New York.
We're going to do a bunch of stuff for that. And then we are heading up to Boston, I believe, on an Acela.
Oh, really?
I think so.
So it'll be just me, you, Liz Shoshi, like on this like bullet train, basically.
And Gautier.
And Gautier going, yeah. I think you can get and from New York to Boston in like 2 hours, right?
Our intern, Marty.
Oh, yeah. our intern boy, Marty. Texas A&M just dominating. We have a show in Boston that might be our biggest show ever. Huge venue, the Wilbur Theater.
How many seats is it?
It's like 1,100 seats.
Oh man, well let's. I don't know if we'll be able to sell that out.
Louis C.K. did a special there. That's how big it is. It's a legit theater. So if you're in Boston, do come by. We just need 10 people to come from all 100 colleges in Boston, and that show should be sold out. And then that next day, Sunday night, is our last show of the tour.
Pistol Wave in New Haven, my hometown show. By the way, if you are locked out of that Brooklyn show, New Haven is a quick train ride from New York, hour and a half. I used to do it all the time on Metro North.
Yeah.
So you could come to that show. And this is fun news. I think we sort of said it the other day on the live stream, but Allison Williams is going to be doing the Toad's Place New Haven show with us.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Allison Williams?
Special guest, Allison Williams, for her, is it third or fourth podcast appearance?
It'll be third or fourth. I can't quite remember.
So she's going to be on the show with us.
One of our favorite guests.
She went to school in New Haven.
She
grew up, I think she grew up in Connecticut too.
So it's sort of her hometown show.
Yeah, it's her hometown show.
So get the fuck out of her way.
I honestly don't even care. I'm just so pumped to be doing a show in the 203Z, baby.
So come see Jake.
Are you Peppies or Sally's, man?
What?
I meant to ask. Are you Peppies or Sally's? Hey, all my boys from New Haven know what I'm talking about. Peppies or Sally's, though. That's the right answer, man.
I don't really like pizza.
Oh, God.
Do you have, like... Do they have Greek salad?
Probably.
Maybe I can get like garlic knots.
With no olives or feta? just lettuce then?
So please come on down to see the Allison Williams, Jake Hurwitz hometown show. I'll be there too. That one's going to be a party. That's going to be our big finale.
Yeah, the final show.
She's one of our favorite guests and a Connecticut a native. So you have no reason not to check out our shows in New Haven. Or Boston, or Brooklyn, or D.C. Those are going to be fun, and those are going to be at the beginning of April. Spring will have sprung. Leaves will be changing colors.
Really hope so. Budding on the trees.
Do you have one last search term that we can use?
Yes.
We got to answer one more question. This is getting ridiculous.
Okay.
The Game Boy.
Vernacular.
That's awful. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Ooh.
It's kind of interesting because every other one has been red. So it's like red, unread, red, unread, red, unread. So which one?
I guess one of the unread ones.
Okay. One, two, or three?
Three.
Okay. Now that I've said three, I've unlocked 12 more.
Really?
Let's break those up into three sets of four. Remember those fortune teller things where it's like, say a color? B-L-U-E.
Oh, yeah.
Now number 1234.
All right,
I'll say that. Yeah. And then you like unravel it and it says what you are.
Uh-huh.
I did that once.
I was often gay. My bully made one.
That's actually funny you mentioned that because let me read this question from a guy named, I don't know, give me a Canadian man's name.
Chuck the Canuck.
Oh, God, there's a Frosty coming out of your nose. Yeah, your hair's turning red.
Oh,
you're starting to become Wendy.
I am Wendy.
You're Wendifying yourself. You've been Wendied. You've been Wendied. My issue is with my big mouth, writes Chuck. My brother used to have his friend Brad over all the time, but I couldn't stand him. Brad had a high school vernacular where he'd call everything gay, queer, and faggy. Whoa. So I made a big stink about it to the point where my brother no longer invites Brad to the house. Well, a year later, I met a friend Don in school. I didn't know this before befriending him, but Don had the same homophobic vernacular as Brad. Don is wondering why I never invited him to my house like I do my other friends. The reason is that I'm terrified he will out me as a big hypocrite in front of my brother by calling something gay. I also do not want to have another awkward conversation with Don to tell him not to talk like that. How do I save face while keeping my friend? If it's relevant, I am mostly openly gay. Oh, this is an interesting fact.
This email was very relevant.
This email was written on your birthday.
Really?
Oh, yeah, August 5th.
1985?
Yeah, it's all typewritten, scanned, and sent to us.
Amazing.
It said, don't open this until March 21st, 2016.
It's funny that he just doesn't even want to have another conversation. He's just like, I just want to invite this guy to the house.
Yeah, he's sort of not fixing the problem. He's just shoving the problem elsewhere.
It seems like it's pretty important to you that your friends don't have that type of hateful vernacular.
I used to say those words when I was like in elementary school and high school.
Yeah, so did
Maybe not high school, but middle school.
I think high school is kind of when I stopped.
So everybody, I guess not everybody, but a lot of people do say those types of words.
Do they still? It's kind of crazy.
I think so. They still say those words without necessarily knowing how bad and hateful it is.
Right.
And the only way to teach and educate people who use words like that is to mention it, not just to kick him out of your house, dude. Kick his ass out of the house, dude.
You're going to really have to watch Lonely and Horny so you understand.
That reference. A real deep cut.
I mean, it seems like a worthwhile thing to make sure none of your friends call things gay or queer or that other really hateful word.
The F one.
I think it's fine at this point, it's probably weirder that you're not inviting your friend over your house.
Yeah, he's probably wondering what's what.
Like, why can't I come over? Just be like, well, you can, just don't talk like that.
And if you do still talk like that yourself, here's a quick PSA. Just don't talk like that. A lot of people are like, I don't mean it like bad, but yeah, you do kind of mean it in a negative way. It also makes you sound kind of dummy, so just don't be a dummy. Right. Don't use those words.
It's kind of silly to make an excuse. Like, if you call something gay, it's like, hey, that's a little bigoted and antiquated. People don't do that anymore. I'm like, I don't mean like it's a bad thing. I don't mean like being gay is bad. It's just like, just stop making excuses and change the word.
You're on the wrong side of history on that. We've already lost the gay battle.
Yeah.
But not the gay war. Stand up with me, folks. I don't know which side I'm fighting for anymore.
It better be the gay one.
Oh, no. Texas A&M wins. The game is over.
And we all win, too.
And I guess that ends our podcast as well. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, whether you're in Bastille or not, that email again is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks to Kyle and Adam for sending in that opening theme song.
Yeah, very cool.
The closing one is written by Cameron Williams. And again, vimeo.com/lonelyandhorny. Do check out the trailer if you haven't yet. If you're on the fence, we'd really appreciate it. I don't know what else to say. We hope to get as many people as possible watching the show. We are refreshing that counter, pre-order counter, maybe every 180 seconds. So if you want to make us feel good, let's see that number go up a little more.
Oh, and remember also, after the song, you guys, we're putting in a little plug for one of our other shows.
It's a good reminder. You asked me to remind you and I forgot.
It's okay. I'm glad that we're just, it's happening. That's all that really matters. There's a podcast called Overdue, and it's a book review podcast of sorts, and I was a guest on it, so we're going to play a little snippet from their podcast, and if you guys dig it, which I think you will, because it's kind of a unique podcast, every week they read books that were sort of like required reading in high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of great books on there. And I read Robinson Crusoe.
Andrew and Craig are funny dudes. And if you like books, you're going to love this podcast, Overdue, on the HeadGum Network. So after the closing theme song, we're going to play a clip from that. You guys can continue listening to the rest of that episode on HeadGum.com. All right, we'll be back, I think, Monday next week, but I don't know. We'll see. I never know. Thanks for listening, everybody. Peace.
If I were you, the new podcast by Jake and Amir, and you know they'll make tons of jokes about every email we send in, but that's fine with me. Now listen to Pete, email a question that you have. Let's hear you share for Jake and
Welcome to Overdue. This is a podcast about the books that you've been meaning to read. My name is Craig.
And my name is Andrew.
And joining us this week is...
Jake. That's my name.
That's his name. Jake, who are you?
Oh, no.
Who are you and why are you here?
The worst intro ever.
Oh, it's fine. We'll fix it in post. It's fine. Yeah.
You're just going to make it louder and louder in post. Mm-hmm. Repeating.
What did you know about Robinson Crusoe? This is by Daniel Defoe. It's not Willem Dafoe, right?
Daniel Defoe, his ancestor. Obviously.
Willem Dafoe should play Robinson Crusoe. I didn't know too much about it. I knew it was about a guy that was marooned on an island and learned to fend for himself. And I think I remember, I remember like a TV show called Family Caruso or something like that. And it was like about a family that had been marooned on an island. And I remember that they made like a sick treehouse. So that's what I thought. I thought that's what I was in store for.
That sounds like a mashup with Swiss Family Robinson.
Maybe it was Swiss Family Robinson and Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Dude, I think it was Swiss Family Robinson. That's what it was.
Okay.
Not Family Caruso.
I would watch that though. So we were taking a look at the book earlier, just kind of like, I haven't read it, but I was reading where it came from. It's technically one of the first novels. Did you find that, Andrew?
One of the first novels in the English language, but insanely old.
Yeah, Do you guys know the full title? Have you heard the full title of the book?
Oh no, please read it to me.
Wait, I think The Life and Strange Surprising Adventures of Robinson Crusoe of Torque Mariner, who lived 8 and 20 years all alone in an uninhabited ifland. I think that's supposed to be an S and it's just old. Yep. On the coast of America near the mouth of the great river of Orinoco.
Yeah, sure.
Having been caffed on shore by shipwreck wherein all the men perished but himself. With an account of how he was at laughed at as strangely delivered by pirates.
No.
Man.
That's the title. That's the title of the book.
I think that's part of the whole, like, make it sound like a real thing that happened. Because
that was the whole thing, right?
Yeah, there's like maybe this was a real guy, but probably not. I don't know.
And people thought he was a real guy because it does say written by himself. They thought this was a thing that really happened. So that I like that about.
And that seems to be in fitting with what the 17th century novels were doing, which is like you're moving towards realism. We're going to pretend that it's a real guy. It's not right, just this mate. Like,
insane shit was happening all around these guys all the time. Like even just the little people in Robinson Crusoe's life. Like there was just a guy that got like killed and eaten on the beach at one point. Like that's
realism. That's real.
These people's lives. That's so anybody like on a ship at sea in the 1600s. Like they're what even if they don't get marooned, it's worth reading about that person.
Well, that's the equivalent of signing up for SpaceX, right? Like. Now, who knows where they're going to send you?
That's true.
There might be whales out there. Here there be dragons.
Go up into space and get space scurvy.
Yeah. Well,
but even in space, they'll have domesticated goats, so it'll be fine.
I've got a couple fun facts about Daniel Defoe. We don't need to talk a ton about him before we jump into the book. But did you know that he was born Daniel Foe, mm-hmm. and that he added "duh" to his last name because he thought it sounded fancy and upper class?
It does. Yeah. It sounds kind of... Doesn't it sound kind of hood, too? It's like, yo, I'm Defoe.
Daniel Defoe.
You think you got a foe? I am Defoe.
He's got credit. He's got cred on both sides, right? He can play. He can play at court, and he can play in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a fancy foe. He was
normally in debt and was arrested in 1692 for debts that may have been as high as 17,000 pounds, however many dollars that is in like 1690 money. He wrote this thing called The Storm, which is considered like a forerunner of early journalism. So he, like, there was a great storm that happened in 1703, and it was called The Great Storm of 1703.
Good name. Right. Checks out.
And he went around and collected like other people's firsthand accounts, which was not like a thing that people did when they were reporting stories back then.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, he published a few other novels, like a couple other Robinson Crusoe things, a few other novels in like the last 10 years of his life. And then he died in 1731, quote unquote, probably while in hiding from his creditors. Which is how I want to die, I think. Yeah.
Penniless and afraid.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.